Hallelujah, hallelujah. The miracle of all miracles. We seek God for this outpouring. The miracle of all miracles is that instantaneous experience, Jesus said, is born again, transferred and transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. So instantaneous that it changes a man from one man to another man. Instantaneous. You don't have to go through school, psychology, recalibration. It's instantaneous if something happens. It's the power of the new nature. It's born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. We thank you. Why don't you just lift your hands and thank him for the power of the new nature, what he's provided. We glorify you, Jesus. We've been born again. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for born again. Thank you for born again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's my favorite testimonies. My favorite testimonies are the instantaneous going from darkness, gross darkness, by people testifying of gross darkness, and then the next day being the next moment being born again, changed instantaneously. But let me tell you something. The power of the new nature is so transforming. The word says that we're all born into sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'll never forget. So this is mine, but it's just as powerful because it shares the power of the new nature. 11 years old, sitting on the right side of the church, 376 Prospect Avenue, Tice, Florida. Charles E. Fussell was the man who preached the kingdom of God and salvation that day. And the Holy Spirit came right down to the row that I was sitting on, put his arms around me. And the man came out of the pew and came down and said, "Son, don't you want to give your heart to the Lord?" Well, I cried just like I'd have been a 25-year incarcerated convict for murder, fornication, adultery. I cried. I wept all the way, got to the altar and wept and wept and was born again. About a year and a half later, a man came through preaching the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then on this side, I come up and got filled with the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues. I was about 13 then. The power of the Holy Spirit never left me. The born again never left me. I will say this. I've heard people say I was born again and then girls and cars and things. I had an advantage over some because I was filled with the Spirit. My buddies on the football field, they didn't understand why when I got hit or hit somebody or got the breath knocked out of me, why I wouldn't cuss. And some of them were raised in gospel homes. But I served him through my teens. And I served him through my 20s. And I served him through my 30s and my 40s and my 50s. And now I'm enjoying him in my 60s. From the day at 376 Prospect Avenue, I've never backslid or went back. Is that not a testimony to the power of the new nature? It will keep you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We got to sing it one more time. I'm enjoying my salvation this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Makala sokeresete. I exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're just going to take this time and just worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Exalt you. So when I'm spending the time in prayer, like yesterday in preparation for a service, it's either one or two things. It's either I can't type it fast enough or dictate it fast enough or write it down fast enough with line upon line scriptures that I want to read. And a lot of times I'm in the service where there's more to be read and more to be said. And that's the teacher anointing. But then there's the anointing that I'm in prayer. There, Jesus. You get a little window to try to explain things, and then you can feel him pulling you in. And then when I knew in advance yesterday that he just wants to have a Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost service, a Jesus service. You don't even try then. The best that you can do then is just present yourself a living sacrifice and begin to worship and pray in tongues. That's all I did this morning. Looked up a few scriptures. Pastor Dave, in training all of us, now the men that I associate with are all good teachers, but they also can just lay it all down and just speak out of their hearts. And that's mostly what Pastor Dave did the further he went. In fact, he wouldn't hardly prepare any particular thing. He would just wait for the Holy Spirit. I remember Alan Taylor saying, I heard him not long ago, he was talking about, he said, because, you know, he was trained also by Pastor Dave, and he said he'd be getting all his scriptures and, you know, thumbing through his Bible and trying to get ready to present what he wanted to present to the body. And he said if Dave was there in the room, Dave would start talking to him, just asking him questions. How's your wife doing? How's the kids doing? You know, that's usually rude when somebody's trying to focus. But he said Dave would do it deliberately. Deliberately. Just to keep his mind off even trying to prepare. Because he taught him, Alan, if you'll go out there. And like I said, there are certain services you just teach. This is not one in particular. So why don't you just worship God with me, and those of you that are home, just begin to magnify the Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Just lift up worship out of your own priesthood. Just begin to tell Jesus how much you love him. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Lead us in something. I exalt you, Jesus. Give yourself time to focus on the Lord. Go in. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus. The healing power of God flow out to you, both in virtue of your spirit, to your spirit, and to your soul. Yes, sir. For there are some with great questions of the heart, as in things that you've put before me, and desiring answers. But I'm saying to you this day that if you'll lean into me and into intimacy, that I'll come and answer the questions of your heart first with the peace that passes all understanding. And then a follow-up will be an intimacy that will methodically answer the reasons why certain things have not turned out the way you thought they would turn out, says the Spirit of grace. So stay in the place, yieldedness is the spirit of holiness. It is humility, yielding yourself. Yes, sir. You can't fix you. You can't fix you, but I can fix you. Now, I desire to restore. I desire to restore finances and family, marital relationships. I desire to restore, to renew, and to wash away out of you strongholds, ways of thinking that bring in the result of the bondages and the inhibitions and the things that a marriage suffers or an individual suffers. Now is the time, and now is a great time when the wind of my spirit is blowing. It's blowing upon my church and the people that are hungry. You don't even have to know half of what you will know for my spirit to contact you and bring you up higher, bring forth a soundness of heart and mind. Yes, sir. He just said, I'll save your husband. I don't know who that means, who that is in particular. I'll save your marriage. I'll bring forth the sweetness. For it is my desire in these days that the homes be brought forth in great unity. Great unity. For his objective, that is that of the enemy, his objective is not only to destroy the marriage and the home, but to confiscate from you your authority to help bring forth a great revival in the earth, says the Spirit of grace. For I've called you, I've come, and I've solicited from this and from those that are watching you're my hope. You're the seed of God's authority in the earth to bring forth this outpouring, restoration and reformation. So many of you think of yourself as an individual isolated from authority in what God desires to do, in magnitude of the outpouring. So you can't relate that the things that are happening to you individually and the fight that is going on in regards to many different things in families. Some loss, yes, I know. And you can't relate because you see yourself only on an individual basis. But I'm asking you to put on kingly garments and priestly garments. Go in behind the veil that has been rent and bring forth the authority of my Spirit to bring forth a unity. The unity of the church starts in the unity of the individual and of the home, says the Spirit of grace. Don't sell yourself short. Realize your importance. Know that everything that comes to abate you, to stop you as an individual or as a woman of God or as a man of God, the end result is not you. The end result is the church and the outpouring. And I've seeded you. I've nursemade you along and along. You've not failed or quit to this point because grace underscored you and helped you come to this place. So determine like never before to go in. Let no argument of your mind of something less than you are remain. Stand fast in this hour. The outpouring is among you. It's on you. It's among you. And it's here. Jesus. Satan will come and he'll crush the hopes of somebody. Then something will happen and a hope will be crushed. And then he comes and he accuses God. Well, God let that happen, or God had that happen to teach me a lesson, or maybe God's angry at me, or maybe God. And he gets by with a lot. Especially in hard times where things don't make sense. The only remedy to that is not counsel. It's not, a talk will help. I remember when I was going through something, I talked my wife's ear off trying to explain what I was going through. I talked to other men. I was hungry, but I was also in a war, an emotional fight. And a man that had a huge church had a counselor on his staff. You know, that's what you do if you don't want to go into counseling yourself. You hire a counselor. So I went and I talked to him. This is before Dave. Way. He helped me some, but I was walking around empty. And I didn't know what to do. I was born again, Spirit-filled, like I said, and I'd served God and I never went back into sin, but boy, emotions. Then in 1997, I met a man. It's like the woman of Samaria. I met a man that told me whatsoever things I did. he said, in essence, Dave Roberson, you know who I'm talking about. He said, if you'll get on this path, he wasn't just talking to me, this was the message. Here's a deliberate path. If you'll spend your time deliberately giving yourself over to the Holy Spirit. And I went to an Assembly of God college. It's a university now. And there were men there that spoke and wrote the Hebrew and the Greek, and there were some really smart people there. I don't know why they let me in. And I got a degree. And I came out troubled because they didn't know, even though they believed in tongues, they didn't tell you. You can pray in tongues anytime you want to, all the time, anytime, as much as you want to. So once I got on this path, I said, I was on a number of different paths. The one path I was on, the man was had received his doctorate or gotten his doctorate. He was real smart, and he was real into studies. So I was on the path with him, and I probably would have went in and got a doctorate. And there's nothing wrong with that. Smarts is okay, and schools is okay, and masters and doctorates. But I was on the path with him, and he was teaching education. And then I got kind of off that path, didn't divorce myself from him, but kind of got on the other path of the prophetic and the apostles and the prophetic, got on that just a little bit. And that got too weird. And it was, it got so weird that I said, oh my God, they're not going to help me. Then I got on this path. Hallelujah. This summer will be 27 years. August will be 27 years living here. 3 years of part-time. So 30 years. And when Candy and I went out to Tulsa with Miss Barbara and came back, I said, that's it. No more prophetic apostle. I mean, the apostles and prophets are in the earth. You know that. But no more of that vein. No more of headed towards a master's or doctorate. No more. This is the path to walk in. And she didn't criticize me, but she'd said, I'd flown different places, and some of the biggest prophets that are in the world, one of them that everybody knew had laid hands on me, and I'd privately, he had prophesied over me, and he said, you'll do this, and I'm not saying he wasn't right, but I was on this and that, and I was scattered about, but I have been laser focused for 30 years, or 27 now in August, because that's when I come back and went full time. And I can tell you this, 27 years later, are you looking? Yeah, I'm looking straight in front of me, because I can tell you this, we're going to receive this outpouring. And I can tell you what happened. I found out after praying in tongues a lot and worshiping Him privately, that stuff started evaporating, and I was looking for it, and I was saying, what was it that troubled me? I can't even remember what it was. What was it that I was so depressed and I needed to go talk to a professional counselor about? What? Oh my God. It's terrible when you get so much peace, you even forget what it was that you were troubled about. What would you equivocate it to? The path that we're on. Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Do you need another book to read? No, I'll read a book every once in a while, but I don't need another book. I don't need another pick-me-up or somebody to come along. I found a path, a deliberate path of praying in tongues and worshiping God and spending time in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, what do we want? Well, what we want is, we want sound doctrine, but what we want is that doctrine to be presented, but people come in the door and they feel the essence of His presence. And they don't just see me standing up here, because this is not teaching moment. I can teach, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but I do have a number of programs on my laptop, and I can look at all the Greek tenses and what they mean, and I can tell you about the Greek, and I can tell you about the, you know, all the tenses and halfway pronounce the words. But after all of that, if there's not an anointing that when they walk in the door, they know this, I don't understand all this, but there's an anointing that breaks the yoke. And I don't want to just teach the word. I want to demonstrate the word of God and great power and great authority. Hallelujah, Jesus. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Bring them in, Jesus. Bring them in, Jesus. Bring them in, not just to this place, but those places that the blind see and the lame walk and the deaf hear. Marriages are restored. Insane people the next week they may have been contemplating taking their own life, but the presence of God comes upon them and they're healed in their minds and they're healed in their bodies. And an essence of your glory touches their life. Oh, Jesus, give us this, Lord. Give us this, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. All 9 gifts of the Spirit flow. Healings and miracles and faith and discerning of spirits and wisdom and knowledge and prophecy and tongues and interpretation. Everything works all at the same time in this house. Those that are seeking God for this outpouring. That all these things work in us and through us in these last days. Mahadokeresete. That room that we talked about last week, Ephesians 3, that you would know the width, the width, the depth, the height, the breadth, all of everything of the love of God, that you might be what? Filled with the fullness of God. So that's the room that we're after. It's a room where God comes and pulls you in more and more, and you're baptized in more and more of His agape, which is the love of God. Peace comes in that. Assurance comes in that. Even when things don't make sense, you're like, okay, God, I know everything's going to be all right. So we said that place is a deliberate place, and it's not just a feel-good place. It'll sustain you in the darkest times. And it's a place of love. It's an incredible place of love. It's a place where little children get out of wheelchairs. Why? Because it's a place where you're not plastic. You remember the vision that Pastor Dave had? He saw a vision, and he said everybody turned into some kind of silicone. They were still human beings, but I think he was over at the Mabee Center in Tulsa, and he looked up, the whole crowd, most everybody turned like silicone, or, you know, they were humans, but they were plastic. And God said to him, this is where the church is at. The lack of authority is this, that people come with a facade and a plastic, and they present themselves to be something that they're not. But he said, here's where revival is at. When the person who usually stays at home, because they leave, I know it sounds ridiculous, but they usually leave the real person at home and come and ooh, Jesus. But he said when the two join together in the reality of the home, the one that's been left at home comes to church And that person can present themselves without any, could we use the word, it's strong, hypocrisy. Then he said, that's when the revival starts and flows. So that's what we're after. And that's what you're capable of. And none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. And there's still a lot that needs to be changed in this preacher. But not evil. Not evil. Not dark secrets. You could take my cell phone or my laptop, and I don't even try to erase the history. Any of my grandkids or any of my kids, or they can just grab it at any time. They're not going to see anything on there unless something just come up. I didn't see it. No hidden agendas, no back doors. Why? Because I'm looking forward to the day where they bring those babies in or bring kids in and they're supernaturally healed. Are you saying we've got to get gooder and gooder? I know that's not good. Or we got to arrive at a place of evolving? No. I'm saying Romans chapter 12, that we give our bodies over a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto Him, which is our reasonable service. He'll come in that. And that love that loves everybody. But it loves everybody with a God kind of love. And it's not discriminatory on race or creed or what somebody has done or not done, but it is based on the love of God, which is in truth, absolute truth. Jesus. A lawyer stood up, tempting him. What? Matthew 10. Tempting him. Lawyer stood up, tempting him. Must have worked for CNN. Said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus quoted to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Follow these. And he, to justify himself, who is my neighbor? Who is then? Who is my neighbor? Just wouldn't leave it alone. You better leave it alone. You're talking to Jesus. You're not going to win this. Correspondence for CNN, but he was a lawyer. In other words, he knew the law. Lawyers then weren't lawyers like, you know, they're lawyers as in knowing the law. So Jesus quoted to him the law, but added the part, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He made it coincide. 1 and 2, that all of the, another scripture says, all the law and the prophets hang on this. So who is my neighbor? Well, there was a certain man who went down to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and they beat him. Now I'm just paraphrasing, not giving you. Left him half, they stripped him. These thieves stripped him and beat him unmercifully and left him half dead on the side of the road. And there was a He said, as he's laying there, there was a certain priest that came down. And when he saw him, the priest knew this, if he was a priest, he knew that the first commandment was exactly what Jesus said. He knew that the love of God was supposed to go over there and reach out and touch that man and help him. The Bible says he just passed by on the other side. And then a Levite. Well, what's a Levite? A Levite comes out of, or all the priests come out of the Levitical priesthood. That's where you get your priest. They were to minister before the Lord in the tabernacle, the temple. So they're right next to the priestly order. So Levite came down and he was walking by and he saw him, looked on him, the word says, and passed by. But then there was and this guy that Jesus is telling this to, I'm sure he didn't want to hear this. There was a certain Samaritan that came by. And he went over, and this Samaritan reached out to him. He reached out, poured into his wounds oil and wine, and that was a kind of a medication. Bound him, put him on his beast, his horse or his donkey, and took him to the closest inn and got him a room and set up with him. And then the next morning he said to the host or the front desk, I've left this man in the room. Take care of him. Here's money to take care of him. And when I come back, if I owe you more. Jesus said, which of these do you think was his neighbor? And he said, I suppose it was the one that showed mercy. Well, Jesus said, do likewise. Hallelujah. They're going to come in here by the groves. We don't care what they have done. We don't care who they are. We don't care how they're dressed. As in Ohio the other day, or in Kentucky, it's just south. I was in Cincinnati. That's where I was. Cincinnati. And I went down to get an hour workout, and I was doing my last. I was doing some dumbbell crunches on the floor and tricep extensions. And I looked up, and this woman came in, about 6'2", and slender, and had a long dress on to her, almost to her ankles, and hair down to her shoulders. And I'm still, and I look up and I think, okay, this lady, and I'm the only one in here. Well, I'm about done anyhow, so I'm not running off. But I look up and it's a man. And he goes over and he's nice, but transvestite. I don't know, homosexual maybe. So he says, he said, it's cold in here. Can I turn this down? With a man's voice. I said, sure. I said, I'm about done anyway. And so in the revival, they're going to come in. And the prostitutes. So some of you ladies don't go, oh my God. Listen, they'll get saved. And their dresses will change. So when they come in here and us men, all of us that are men, and you can't stop being a man, we'll have to do like this, shake their hands maybe, but not too much that we don't. But when they come down to the altar, the ladies will be here. If they fall out in the spirit, they'll have to cover them up real quick. And the guys that are come in, Some of them will come in with their boyfriends or girlfriends. But I can't. Oh, God.
Give us this compassion, Lord. We want them all saved.
But right on the other hand, here's where people get so squirrely, and then they don't pray. And if they don't pray, they get real weird. And then they go woke. We're bringing them in here to get them healed and born again. Not to continue to sit in our services unchanged and tell them they're all right in their condition. When she came to him in John 8, she didn't come. They brought her. And it was a setup, evidently. Because he was in the temple. Jesus was early in the morning in the temple, sitting there with the crowd in front of him. And he was teaching. And the scribes and Pharisees brought her. They said, "We have caught her in the very act of adultery." How do you catch somebody in the very act of adultery? It's always done behind closed doors secretly. So evidently they knew, I'm supposing they knew, maybe even had set it up with the man, because the man's not even there. How crazy is that? They come in with this entourage, and it says the Pharisees and the scribes, and he's teaching. They interrupt his teaching. He's sitting there. Maybe he stands, I don't know, after that. But they said, "Master, Moses in the law said that this woman ought to be stoned. We caught her in the very act." We don't need to get descriptive here, but we walked in while it was going on. We caught her. "Moses said in the law she must be stoned. What sayest thou?" Tempting him, just like the lawyer we cited earlier, tempting him. While they're speaking to him, he stooped down, he's writing. I don't know, everybody's got an opinion on that. Some people may be right. I don't know. Some say he's writing the law. Some say he was writing, identifying the sins of the men in front of him. He might have been doodling on the ground, just trying to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I can't prove it. I don't think it can be proven. That's neither here nor there. "What do you say? What do you say?" So he stands up. "He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." Then he went back to doing whatever he was doing on the ground, writing in the ground. And the Bible says that they went out from the eldest to the youngest, left him alone with her. Well, not alone, but not, because there's still a crowd there. You understand that. It's not just him and her. Everybody that he was teaching is still there. They're watching this thing. They're like, "Wow, what's he going to do?" But left all those who came, they left. He said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she said, "None. I have none, Lord. They're gone." And then what did he say? "Neither do I condemn thee." And here's an important part. "Go and sin no more. I am the light of this world. If any man follow me," he said after that, "he will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So sometimes you look and say, Pastor, we can't even figure you out. You're Wednesday night, you're showing a film on the LGBTQ plus and saying, if you don't get, and I said to the kids, I said, or in preface, I said, I'm not cussing. I'm just saying this. Hell is in fury and it's angry and it's mad. And if you don't get as mad as hell, if you don't get determined, see, there's one thing when a repentant sinner comes. Maybe she's standing there crying because she's a victim. She's a victim. And no telling what hell that woman had went through to bring her to that place. That's one thing. But then when you are a promoter and a solicitor, now we're not going to put up with that. That woman didn't stand there with her hand after he did that and stand on her hips chewing her bubble gum and saying, what are you and the disciples doing tonight? Her attitude was repentful. When they come in here, we're going to let them hear the gospel. And we're going to put our arms around them in their condition and watch them be born again, spirit-filled. And then we're going to baptize them and watch their lives change. We're not going to promote what they're doing. Hallelujah. Well, he sat with the harlots and the publicans. That's right. But they didn't try to solicit him or his team. They wanted change. They felt the anointing and they wanted change. We're going to give them change. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you tired yet? Man, he's, hallelujah. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you. If you're watching this morning, maybe we end service early. I don't know. Pray with me right now. I exalt you, Jesus. Manda kerese te. Bring them, Jesus. We're not scared that they walk in the door. Tattooed from top to bottom, faces covered with piercing. Hand in hand with same sexes. All messed up. Demon possessed. But at the same time, bring in the doctors, the lawyers, bring in the millionaires, and everybody in between. Father, we're asking for this great harvest. We'll turn none away. All the fish that you bring, we'll bring in to the net. And we glorify you. As you continue to pray, if you are here this morning or if you're watching and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's no place that you've ever been to or anything you've ever done that His blood will not redeem you. You could have been in gross sin last night, but this morning is your opportunity. 99% of the people that come to church or watch usually are born again, present tense, but we're about to have a shift, a change. We're going to see more and more evangelistic services. So if you're watching or if you're here and you don't know Him or you fear that you don't know Him, I'm going to pray a prayer, release the power of God on you. And I'm going to ask all of us to pray it together. And if you prayed this morning for the first time, or if you renewed your commitment and you feel like you need to just voice that, please come and see me afterwards. Or someone that you know is spiritually mature. Write me on our website. We have 10 lessons that 'll teach you how, quick lessons, 20 minutes long. You can watch them. You can read them. Or you can listen to them. But right now, everyone, say this prayer with me. Let's pray. Jesus, come into my life. Wash me of my sins. Cleanse me of my burden of sin. Make me a new man, a new woman. Jesus, you're the answer, and I will follow you all the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're watching this morning, if you're here, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is real. Praying in tongues is real. You may say, I need more evidence on that. That's fine. We never force anybody into anything. You don't have to receive the baptism to be born again. You go to heaven on the new birth. But oh, this walk is enhanced. It's intensified with great glory by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've got lessons on that. The face page of our website, and it teaches you. We're going to have I'm just believing this. I've got a luncheon appointment set up hopefully soon with Alex, and I've got to talk to Sarah and other people about transcribing and then editing, and then we're going to put this in a paperback form where we have four forms. We'll have everything on the website, and then something we can hand them here, you know, when they walk out the door in a paperback on this discipleship training manual. So, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. The sign will be up whenever. We're sending them stuff all the time. I sent them a site plan yesterday. Maybe by the fall. I don't know. But driving by, you see, come inside. Receive healing. Glory be to God. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. I think you're getting out early today. I'm going to take another 35 minutes next week. Hallelujah. I'm paying it forward. Don't forget service tonight. God is good. I love you all. Thank you, Jesus, for this prophetic service. The power of your Holy Spirit we release upon your people. Let them be strengthened and edified in your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you soon. Amen.